Welcome to Take Aim. My name is Denny Wilson, and I'm the preacher for the Parkview Church of Christ. We're glad that you're here this evening. Take out your Bible, notebook, and pencil, and let's study the Bible together. Before we get into our lesson, let's go to God in a word of prayer. Our kind and merciful Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to come before you this evening, to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to spend this time in fellowship with one another. Father, we're thankful for your love for us and the gift of your Son. We're thankful for his love for us in going to the cross for us. And we're thankful for the love that purchased the church, that gives us a home, that gives us a family to be a part of. Father, as we think about Bernice leaving and going to another area, Father, our hearts are torn because we know that it's good for her, but it's also sad to see her go. We're thankful for the fellowship and love we've had with her, and we long to continue that. And Father, we ask you to be with her and keep her safe during this time. Father, be with us as we study this lesson from Proverbs and help us to learn the things that we ought to do as Christians that can help us to have a good life now and an abundant and wonderful life and eternal life with you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. First off, let me say I'm thankful for Steve for being here tonight and leading us in singing. It's good to have somebody different up here than Eugene. Can we all say amen? No, I'm just teasing. We're thankful for Eugene and Eric and their work and leading us in singing, but we are appreciative for Steve being here tonight. If you weren't with us this morning, we started out talking about part three of our lesson on background Bible study, in particular food, and we talked about meat and bugs. And I just thought I'd let you know that Robin is not as brave as the people that we talked about from Israel that ate bugs today at lunch. In her sauce for her enchiladas, there was a fly and she wouldn't eat it. Can you believe that? She would not eat the bugs. She had to take her food back. And then we spent our morning worship hour talking about how Jesus spoke with authority, and the scribes weren't anything like what Jesus was preaching and teaching, and the miracles that he performed and the things he did caused his fame to spread throughout all the region around them, and multitudes came to him. And we saw that we need to be teaching and preaching the message of the gospel, because that's what draws men, not following the ways of the world. The world is all on a path to be lost eternally. And so we need to have the desire to stick to the word of God. So tonight that brings us to a study. We're going to be looking at Proverbs 16. If you have your Bibles, I hope that you will go to Proverbs 16. We're going to deviate from our study of the book of Jude. We'll come back to that another time. But tonight we're going to have seven lessons from Proverbs 16. Now, these are positive things. There are some other positive things. There are also some negative things, negative in the sense of if you don't do these things, there are consequences. But we picked out these seven because these are things that we think about that are encouraging to the Christian life. And in particular, I subtitled this. Now, I didn't put it in the bulletin because I didn't want to single her out in the bulletin, but I'll do it here in front of everybody. I entitled this Seven Lessons from Proverbs 16. Subtitle for Bernice and all Christians. So we're going to talk about seven things as she begins a journey to another destination and work and worship in the area she's in. We're going to look at seven verses. We're going to do it very quickly, but I think this will be very encouraging for you. Let's start with Proverbs 16 and verse 3. Proverbs 16 and verse 3 says, "Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established." Wherever we go, whatever we do, we have to trust God. We have to put our confidence in Him. We have to listen to His word. We have to follow His plan and His guidance. When we trust in His ways, He's going to lead us down the right path. And so we think about the things of God. We commit our works to Him. We put all of our effort into what He has asked us to do, and our thoughts will be established. Psalm 19 verse 105 tells us that his word is a light and a lamp to the path that we're traveling that leads to eternal life. Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6 says, not to trust in our own understanding, not to lean on our own understanding, but instead to trust in Him, and He'll direct us in the way that we should go. He's going to show us the path that we should follow through His Word. Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2 says, "Set your mind on things above, where God is, and not on things of the earth." And he goes on to explain, there are a whole list of things to avoid, and there are a whole list of things to pursue. But when we follow his path, when we commit our works to his path, our thoughts will follow. When we follow his plan, our mind will get on board. We will trust and follow the plan, which will ultimately lead us to eternal life. Number two, in verse 6, it says this, "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity, and by the fear of the Lord, one departs evil." Mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. Iniquity is another word for sin. Sin separates us. Iniquity separates us from God, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. And when we understand that God is merciful, and he's promised to forgive our sins, to wash away our sins, if we follow that path that we just talked about, then we can have the confidence that we can receive the grace of God. We can receive the mercy of God. We can receive the atonement of God through his great gift. Our sins and our lawless deeds, he will remember no more, we read this morning. But in order to have that mercy, we must first walk through the door of faith, Romans chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. We go through that door of faith and receive grace upon our obedient life and our willingness to follow his plan. The truth of God's word guides us in that righteous path. And so in following his word, we're forgiven of our past and present sins, and we are washed new in the blood of the Lamb, Revelation 1 and verse 5. We're able to have that freedom that comes from having those sins removed. And so it gives us a new path. And on this new path, if you'll notice, it says, by fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. As we trust God and follow his plan, we have that reverence, we have that respect, and we have that knee-knocking fear of God. When we have those things, it will keep us from the wickedness of the world. We need to be keeping God and his will for us in front of our minds each and every day. And as we follow this new path, we have the mercy and the truth and the forgiveness of God that keeps us from evil. Number three, in verse 17 it says, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil, and he who keeps his way will preserve his soul." Matthew 7, 13 and 14 talks about two roads. There's one that's a wide, easy road that leads to destruction. There's the straight and narrow and difficult road that leads to eternal life. And he says there are few who find it. We want to be a part of that few. We want to be a part of that group who follows the straight and narrow, who follows the path that Jesus has set forth, that has laid out this highway for the upright. You know, one of the names that describe the church in the New Testament is the way, the path, the highway that leads to eternal life. We need to be on that highway of the upright, depart evil, and as we do, it will help us to keep and preserve our souls. God will preserve our souls. Since we no longer walk in that path, since our sins are behind us, they've been washed away, since we're living a path of righteousness, we don't have sins to weigh us down. You remember what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 12? We're to let go of those sins, lay down that weight, and stay away from that trap, that snare that catches us and keeps us from being what we ought to be, and run with endurance the race that's set before us. How do we do that? Keeping our eyes on Jesus, looking unto Christ, looking unto him, and following him all the days of our life. When we think about God and all that he's done for us, I think Paul said it well as he is on Mars Hill and he's preaching to a group of men, these Greeks, who are looking for the perfect man. And Jesus was preached to them. And he talked about God, and Paul said that it's in him that we live, move, and have our being. And he gives us life, breath, and all things. All that we are, all that we do is about God. And it's for God. And these are blessings from God. And when we have this faithful life, it will lead us to eternal life. And so we want to be diligent to make our call and election sure. And Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:10 and 11, if we will do this, we will not stumble. It doesn't mean you're not going to make a mistake or sin. In fact, as we talked about this morning from 1 John, John said that if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. All of us stumble from time to time. But what Peter is saying is, when you strive to make your call and election sure, you're not going to live a life of sin. You're not going to be a habitual sinner. You're not going to follow that path. And instead, he says, it will be supplied an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You stay on the path, it leads to heaven. Get off the path, you'll be lost. Peter says, you work hard, you be diligent to make sure you stay on the path, and you will gain eternal life. In 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 5, 3 through 5, Peter would say something similar about how our souls are preserved by God. He talks about how we'll have an inheritance that's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's not going to be destroyed. It can't be broken down. From God's gift to you, it's not going to rust. It's not going to fade away. It's not going to break down. You can trust it. You can have confidence in it. He says it will not fade away. And then I want you to notice what he says. He says that it is reserved in heaven for you. And it says we are kept by the power of God unto salvation through faith in God. Now think about this. Your spot in heaven as a Christian is reserved, it's guarded, it's kept. Those are all words that say you can count on it. You're going to go to heaven. You're going to be able to have that home in heaven someday if you stay on that straight and narrow. If you continue to walk in the path of righteousness. If you partake of the grace that came through faithful obedience. If you stay on this path, then eternal life is yours, and it will preserve your soul. Number 4, verse 20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. He who heeds the word wisely will find good. You know, you pretty much are going to find whatever you're looking for. You know that, right? Like if you go to a place of business, and you're expecting everything to be bad, whatever they do, you're going to think it's bad. If there's somebody that you expect them to be your enemy and you want to think evil thoughts about them, no matter what they say to you, you're going to think evil thoughts about them. You're going to find what you're looking for. If you are of a pleasant mindset and you're kind and compassionate and loving and you think that this person is going to be kind and nice and polite and loving, you're probably going to find that. Now, there are extremes in either case, but folks, you're going to find what you're looking for typically. And what he's saying here is, as we listen to the Word of God and have the Word of God guide us and direct us in life, it's going to lead us to find the good things of God, the blessings of eternal life, the blessings of Christian life. All spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. So if we go into it with the right mindset, trusting in the Lord, he says, happy are we. You know people that are happy all the time? And you talk to them and they're always pleasant and they're always good to visit with. Boy, that's not the case for everybody. Some people are negative all the time. You know, you could give them $100 and they'd gripe and say, what's this for? What are you doing here? I mean, some people just going to gripe. They're going to gripe about everything. It doesn't matter what happens in life. They're going to gripe. Listen, we can't be that kind of person. Now, if you come to my house early in the morning, you're going to find that guy. He does not get up well. Later in the day when you want to sleep, I'm wired and ready to go, but not in the morning. You know, you got to know what you're looking for, though. You have to know, what are we looking for? Well, it's not about a grumpy Gus or somebody who's always happy or somebody who's phony happy. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is if you're looking for righteousness and the path of God that leads to a great life now and eternal life in the next life, you can find it. God's made that path available. And when you're on that path, you will be happy. The things of the world aren't going to destroy you. You're not living for this world. You're living for eternal life. And so, you know, there are some people, I think we've had this discussion before. You can go to the hospital and visit people, and you'll have one person who maybe is in there for something little, and it's the end of the world. I mean, nobody's ever suffered like this before. It's the worst thing anybody's ever endured. And maybe they're having a hangnail removed. And then you'll go to the next person, and they're kind of like the bionic man. They've had everything operated on. Their whole body's replaced. And you walk in and talk to them, and they're just like, oh, it's so wonderful. These people have been so good to me. This nurse is so nice. Oh, the food is even good. I don't know what they're griping about. You know, and then you know that they're just being nice, right? They're friendly, loving, caring people. They always want you to pray with them. They have a different mindset. What's the difference in the two? The difference is the path they're walking on. They're trying to live for Christ. Listen, we have a church family that loves and supports us. They pray for us. They think about us. They love and care for us. They're concerned when we're not here. And they're concerned when you move to a new city. You see, people love each other, and we want to help each other, and we're happy because of that. We're not going to let the stresses of the world and the fear of things in the world keep us from being happy in Christ. One of the biggest problems over the last year and a half is there's been a lot of people who've let the world take away their joy. They've been stripped of happiness, and they're filled with fear. Folks, when you walk in the path of God, no matter what happened, like Paul, you can say, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You see, we need to have a different mindset. We're not burdened by sin because we've put it behind us. So while the world's in turmoil, we're happy because we're walking in the path of God. Number 5, verse 23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Now, there's nothing like studying and learning. Some of us really like it. Now, some of us maybe not so much. But the fact is, as a Christian, we all ought to be learning. And the only way to be learning is to study and make application from what we've learned, put it to practice in our life, and grow. With this kind of confidence, we can have eternal life. And with this happiness in Christ Jesus, we're going to trust him even more. As a result of this study and growth, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, we're diligent, or we study so that we're approved unto God, a workman that can rightly divide, handle aright, cut straight the word of God. We're studying God's word. We're growing. And we learn that path, and we learn it even better as we grow older. You know, we ought to be those who love to read and study our Bibles. We ought to love to spend time in worship with our Christian family, to sing songs of praise, to go to God in prayer, to commemorate his death in partaking of the Lord's Supper. We should love this time together. We should love meditating on his word. Psalm 119 and verse 97, David said, oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. Psalm chapter 1 talks about how you meditate on that word of God. It's like the tree that plants its roots beside the river. It's nourished, it's fed, it's always green, it's always producing fruit. It's about growth and maturity as a child of God. I love Joshua chapter 1 verses 6 through 9. Where Joshua was told to meditate on God's word day and night, not to depart from it to the right or to the left, but to use it as a guide in all that they do as a nation. And in so doing, God promised them victory. You know what's amazing is they were victorious in Jericho, the first place they conquered. But because one man, Achan, sinned in that conquest, he took of the spoil instead of doing what God told them to. They lost in the very next path. How do you trust God and gain victory and immediately go right back into the path that leads to destruction? Well, you know what? Lest we get too hard on Achan, let's remember that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Folks, we need to follow his path and trust in him and meditate on his word so that we grow and develop and spend more and more time spending this time together in, as brethren, in fellowship one with another, so that we know how to love him and serve him and keep his commandments so that we have eternal life. Number six, that's in verse 24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul, and health to the bones. These are beautiful words, and we appreciate those who are kind and compassionate and loving and sweet. And certainly when we think of Bernice, we think of that loving, sweet, and kind, gentle position and the words. And certainly that brings true for us. But these beautiful words, the words of God, the ones that lift people up, ought to be added to my lips. It ought to be added to my life. It ought to be a part of my communication. It ought to be a part of the way I deal with people. I help them to know the ways of God. I help them to know his plan for their life. I have pleasant words and sweet words that help the health, that make me stronger and make my life better. I ought to be able to express my love and my thankfulness and teach people the ways of God. As a result of these sweet words, these wonderful words, there's joy and happiness. The words on my lips help others. Can you say that today? Do the words on your lips make others better? Does it encourage them? Does it give them support? Does it help them to know Christ? Does it help them to become a child of God and become more faithful? What are the words that are coming out of my lips? Does it make me healthier? Is it motivation for me to live for God each day? And that brings us to number seven. That's found in verse 31. The silver-haired head is a crown of glory. Notice the next word, if. If it is found in the way of righteousness. As a result of walking in the way of righteousness, we are blessed with a wonderful life. Age and maturity allow us to share the wisdom of God with others. It allows me to share the wisdom from my own experience with others, especially those who are younger than me. Paul would tell Titus that that's exactly the path, that the older women are to teach the younger younger women how to love their husbands and raise their children to be homemakers or keepers at home, depending on your translation, how to be a godly woman, how to be what God would have you to be. Age and maturity for the man should lead him to do the same, to teach and develop the younger men to be what they ought to be in Christ Jesus. So years of faithfulness blesses you, and it causes you to impact the lives of others. And as a result of your actions and your words, it causes others to love and appreciate you. You see, you become a servant of God and a blessing to others all the days of your life. While the world may look at age, they may look at the color of your hair, they may look at the lack of hair and think that, you know, you have nothing to offer. In the church, that is not the case. In the church, those who have proven by faithfulness that they love God and they're going to keep his command are some of the biggest sources of strength for the rest of the brethren that there is, especially when they are teaching and preaching and encouraging others to do what is right. We are thankful for those who are faithful children of God who have served him all the days of our life. As we think about some of these lessons from Proverbs 16, and again, there are many other lessons, both ones that challenge us and those that encourage us, but from these seven lessons, we see the beauty of walking in the ways of God and serving him. When we do that, when we follow his path, he tells us that our thoughts will be established. We'll be thinking the right way. I will be forgiven and stay away from evil. I will have my soul preserved. I will be happy. I will have wisdom in my life and actions that leads to my lips being a blessing to others as I teach and as I encourage. It adds health to my bones. It brings me honor as I've lived a faithful life, and it gives me blessings both now and eternal life when this world is over. There are many other things that we could think about tonight from Proverbs 16, but these seven things help us to understand that when we walk the right path, when we walk the path of God, when we trust him and live according to his path, There are many wonderful blessings in the life of a Christian. I hope that this is an encouragement to you to be faithful and to keep focused on your journey. I hope it's an encouragement for you to be a part of the church and be active in the church and to continue to labor in the church all the days of your life. We ought to be a people who love one another and love God and encourage each other as we walk down the path to eternal life. Someday, the faithful will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The question is, are we going to hear that message? Are we going to hear that from God? Or are we going to hear, "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness"? You see, if I want to be rewarded, I have to become a Christian and I have to follow his plan. I must believe that Jesus is the Christ. I must repent of my sins. I must confess him with my mouth. I must be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And then I must live a faithful life. And if I'm not faithful, I'm not going to get the reward. You see, all of these blessings depend upon me being faithful and staying on the path of righteousness. That's what we need to be focused on. So tonight, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, we want you to become one by putting on Christ in baptism. If you're already a member of the Lord's church, but you're not living like you should, you need to repent of that and get back to walking on the straight and narrow. It's a life that is blessed, it's happy, it's joyful. It provides you with everything you need so that you can have a great life now, an eternal life when this world is over. If we can help you in any way, if you need the prayers of the church or to put on Christ in baptism, won't you come? Won't you come right now while we stand and while we sing?